Hey folks, Aaron Lee here. I apologize for my audio in this episode. We believe that there was a mistake made with the audio settings when we recorded, and we'll make sure to check those settings in the future. Now, on with the show.
Well, hello, friends. We're back for another episode of Podcasts in a Pear Tree, and I'm Samantha.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Aaron Lee.
And we're back for another episode to talk about all the things that we've been watching this week. There's been a lot of films that have dropped, and also we're heading into Thanksgiving week. We're excited about that. But first, what have we been watching? Did anybody watch Christmas in the Spotlight on Lifetime?
I wonder.
I did watch Christmas in the Spotlight on Lifetime. I was not mad at it.
Do you know what it reminded me of?
Tell me.
So basically, this story is about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's love story, unofficially.
Unofficially.
Lightly inspired.
Lightly inspired or completely inspired, because it reminded me of those. Have you ever seen the, there's like a William and Kate Lifetime. Story and like a Meghan and Harry one that they've done.
Correct. Yeah.
They might as well have done that with these two. Like, why did they just do that?
I mean, for crying out loud. But I wasn't mad at it. And I think the reason I wasn't mad at it is the guy who was playing, I think it was Robert in this, he was so endearing. And his relationship with his niece and his relationship with his mom just sucked me in. And the respect that he had for Bowen right from the start, when they were taking that first selfie and he asked her if it was okay for him to put his arm around her, I was like, dude, you just got me.
Well, and I feel like they found a guy that kind of looks like Travis Kelce, and it's like a characterization of Travis Kelce, like kind of just like a big idiot.
And he actually was a professional football player at one point, I think.
Oh, really?
I believe so. Talk amongst yourselves. Let me see if I can find his.
But they even had the Jason Kelce actor, his wife. They had all of it. They had references to Taylor Swift. There were a lot of details here that it's like, this is such an obvious retelling of their story.
His name is, I cannot pronounce his name, Leif Walshelger, Walshelger, and he played for the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, interesting. Maybe that's why he looks a little familiar. But then I was like, oh, did they just get a guy that looks as much like Travis Kelce as they could? Maybe.
Maybe.
But
that's likely the
case. I think he was the standout in the film. I was like, oh, I like her singing. But then I found out she didn't do it. But now she's inspired and she wants to go off and be a pop star. Jessica Lord is her name.
Did she just have a lot of fun in this movie and now she's inspired?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just, I read an article because I was trying to find out if she did her own singing. And so that's how it came up.
And she did?
No, she did not. Not in this.
Okay.
In fact, the tracks for this were all pre-recorded before she was cast. Is what I learned from the article I read on the internet.
Interesting.
The other person I really want to call out in this was Jeannie Mai Jenkins, who played Bowen's assistant, Mira Vu. I thought her character was so funny and so niche. And I thought she did just such a great job of bringing me into this story. I love it when we have a secondary character that is really actively engaging with the audience.
I mean, it's interesting to see her outside of being a show host, you know, because that's usually what she does, but actually doing like more of an acting role.
Oh, she's a show host?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know her from anything.
Well, you know, most Asian people, we pay attention to Asian people in Hollywood. And so she's definitely one of them. I want to say it's probably her first film, maybe.
I thought she was great.
I loved her. She was great. If she wants to pursue acting, do it.
There's a really funny game show that I really like watching.
Oh, is she on this show? Raid the Cage?
Raid the Cage.
Yes, I have seen Raid the Cage. And she is fun on it. I just didn't recognize her. Okay, so everybody go watch Raid the Cage. Jeannie Mai Jenkins is awesome on Raid the Cage as well as this movie. I'm joining her fan club. Does she have one?
Aw, that's so nice.
I feel like this is one of Lifetime's better ones. I enjoyed it.
I mean, the bar's pretty low right now.
Did you guys watch the other one?
Yeah.
The Plum Hill Manor one?
No.
Sincerely, Truly Christmas.
No, I haven't.
I liked it.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Better than this?
I had certain issues with it, but I liked the story. I liked the, should we be telling the truth? Should we be telling white lies?
Samantha, the whole whole concept is that it's an event planner, haha, of all things. And she just wishes that people could just tell her like, what they want in general, but it's interpreted as she wants people to tell her what they want for Christmas. So people basically, when she's in their presence, if they start with I want, they say like what they want for Christmas.
And then she has to figure out, based on these cryptic things that people are saying, what they actually want. Meanwhile, there's a whole nother story with her trying to get her job back at a Spotify-like company that fired her for being honest about a pop star who wasn't very talented. Ooh. So she's trying to get her job back by getting this old-timer musician to re-record a Christmas hit that he wrote. Meanwhile, she's enlisted the help of this random real estate agent that she discovered who has a loose relationship with the truth. And so all these stories are kind of intertwined and coming together. I had a really good time. Now, I do think that the lead actress here muscled her performance a bit. She was trying a bit too hard. I was like, just take your foot off the gas there. Just let this one ride. You can do it. But overall, I really enjoyed it. It was one of my tops of the weekend.
Oh, interesting. Maybe I'll check it out.
That's so interesting. That was one of your tops of the weekend. I'm glad to hear that, Erin Lee.
So what was your criticism of it? Clearly, it wasn't one of your tops of the weekend.
I mean, definitely an interesting fantasy concept, but I had a hard time paying attention.
Well, should we jump over to Hallmark for their big one this week, which was the Three Wiser Men and a Boy or whatever it's called?
Sure. Three Wiser Men and a Boy. It was fine.
It was fine. I felt fine about it.
I give it a B. I feel like this whole week was a bunch of Bs.
Yeah.
Grade-wise, yeah. Not
compared to
bees.
Last week. Compared to last week,
where we had some really spectacular movie. This week, yeah. I was like, B. I give it a B. Yeah. It's better than fine, but it's not great.
It was like a standard school Christmas pageant film. It was fine.
I did like that they leaned into the fact that they didn't have the rights to Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And so they changed it to How the Grump Stole Christmas. And instead of all the who's down in Whoville, it was all the what's down in what town. I was very entertained by that.
Oh, that was cute. Another one from Hallmark that I checked out this week was To Have and To Holiday about the Christmas wedding. This one was...
You're laughing, so that's good.
Well, I feel like it started off well, and then it just kind of lost some steam. But it had a very much so like a meet the parents vibe where she brings home her fiance. They just got engaged after 3 months, and the dad is a bit scary pastor.
No. I'm sorry. I'm going to call you on this. She's going to go home alone. And then the guy is like, why don't I come with you? And she's like, okay, that's great. And they're not engaged yet. They're just dating. Right. And they've only been dating for a few months.
3 months.
And it's so wackadoo random because her dad's like, is a pastor. And he's like, oh, we're going to remodel the church. And she's like, oh, I wanted to get married in that church. And he's like, well, you can still get married in the church. She's like, but it's going to look different. And right. Then the boyfriend gets down on one knee and proposes right then and there. I was like,
What?
And then the mom takes her engagement ring off and gives it to the boyfriend to give to her daughter to get engaged. But then the mom wants the engagement ring back, so they have to go buy an engagement.
But also the mom is the mayor of the town and the father is the pastor.
They are running this town. And their introduction to us as the audience was brilliant because the mayor was saying, you forgot to file permits. And then the pastor, so they had a little play argument right when we meet them. And then they're like, okay, honey, see you at home. And they have a little kiss. It was cute.
That was cute.
Oh, so you didn't know until that moment.
Also, I don't know what that boyfriend did for a living, but are they hiring? Because did you see his New York apartment? That thing was gorgeous. And his clothes were beautiful. And he had a guy for everything. And he could get twinkle lights that the pastor couldn't get.
I just thought he came from money. I don't know.
That was a very nice apartment that he
lived in. Too nice. Like, it was crazy. Nice. The ceilings were way too high. he had a lot of money. One thing that I liked about this film, though, there was a moment where they were playing the newlywed game and his parents actually come at some point. So then it's kind of like a Meet the Fockers situation because his parents were not I expected them. They're supportive.
They came back from Europe for this.
Yeah. Well, what happens basically, Danielle, is the pastor, the father, he's not for this marriage. And so he's basically like, I need to put you through marriage boot camp. And if you pass the boot camp, then I'll marry you. But if you don't, I won't, kind of a thing. So, yeah, he was like really intense. Anyways, at one point they go to the local pub and they're all playing the newlywed game together. All these couples, the two parent couples and the children couple. And one of the questions which I wanted to pose to you all was, what is your desert island Christmas song? Do you have one?
What? What does that mean? What
like if you're on a desert island, what Christmas song is your favorite?
You can only listen to one Christmas song.
On for a desert island.
Mine better be a wintry desert island because I don't like hot Christmas.
Basically, what's your favorite Christmas song that you would take with you on a desert island?
Oh, gosh, this is hard because, you know, sometimes you want like the Christmas songs that are fun and peppy and just kind of get you in the mood. And then sometimes you want those just really beautiful, lovely Christmas songs. I think I'm going to have to go with, this is hard. It's so hard. Okay. Josh Groban's Oh Holy Night. There it is. Final answer.
Danielle?
So if I'm going to go contemporary, I'm obviously, yes, Mariah Carey should be it. But I think I'm going to go with Underneath the Tree, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, my God. That one is so good. That will get into your head for months.
I've got to listen to it then. Underneath the Tree.
Oh, dude, seriously? You're joking. Oh.
I'm horrible at
music, so you gotta tell me what to listen to.
Prepare to have this in your head until January.
What is it? Underneath
the Tree, Kelly Clarkson.
Underneath the Tree, Kelly Clarkson.
Underneath the Tree, yeah.
Okay, it's in there. I will listen to it after we record. I will report back next week whether it is still in my head or not.
Okay.
It will be.
Let's hop over to Netflix for a second because we have talked a lot about the spiciness of these holiday films this season. And Netflix released their ultimate spice fest, Male Stripper Review Christmas, also known as The Merry Gentleman. What did you think?
Well, Can I share my Desert Island Christmas song first?
Samantha didn't get to share her Desert Island Christmas song.
Samantha, what is your Desert Island Christmas song? Is it Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson?
It definitely is not because...
Or Stepping Into the Holidays by Elton John.
You know what? I do love that one. I love that one. That also gets in my head. Stop right now. Okay.
I would say something different. If we're doing classic Christmas songs, then I would say something different. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
Classic Christmas song, it's going to be Oh Holy Night forever and always. But if we're going contemporary, I would say probably the John Lennon and Yoko Ono Happy Christmas.
Oh, okay.
I love that one. That one's like so sweet. But oh my gosh, the Elton John Step Into Christmas. It's a fun one. I also like the Paul McCartney one. And I also love Wham! Last Christmas, right?
Last Christmas. Like, oh my goodness.
This is fun.
That's so true. Yeah.
All right.
Let's get on to
abdominal muscles. What did you think?
It was a fun watch. I liked it better than Hot Frosty, I'll tell you that.
I like Hot Frosty better.
What?
I thought that Frosty and Hot Frosty was cute. I liked that he was a truly just genuinely naively kind character. I know that Chad Michael Murray's character in this was also very kind, as everybody was kind. Everybody's lovely in this film, but I was bored. It bored me. Hot Frosty at least kept me interested.
Maybe it's because I couldn't stop staring at Chad Michael Murray's hair and how much hairspray that probably went into holding that hair.
Swoop piece that came down beside his face.
Oh, geez.
I was like, dude, just push it over. Push it over. What's with bad hair in these movies this season?
I think he just needs to realize that he's more of a short hair kind of guy. But men of a certain age like to grow their hair out. So we'll see. I don't know.
It's called strategic combing.
I mean, it was fine. I don't think I'm really
fine, but didn't love it. Netflix just keeps going downhill. Like, they started out strong, I felt, with Meet Me Next Christmas, and Hot Frosty wasn't quite as good as that, and then Married Gentleman is not quite as good as that, but I have high hopes for Our Little Secret this coming weekend with Lindsay Lohan.
I was just gonna say, we just need to get through this weekend. Hopefully Lilo doesn't let us down, and, you know, Netflix redeems itself a bit.
Yeah. Danielle, what were your thoughts on Married Gentleman?
I saw it when we recorded the last episode. So I've been holding thoughts. I'm going to go middle of the road for both of you. It was more PG than I thought it was going to be, which is good. But the storyline was interestingly iffy. But I feel bad because the whole concept of it being really a male review to save this venue is very, very sweet. Yeah, the rhythm room is very, very sweet. Sweet concept. And then the lead character, when she got kicked off of her Rockettes job. The Jingle Bell. Sorry, the Rockettes ripoff. Yeah, whatever the Rockettes ripoff. When she got kicked off of that, and then so she finds herself wanting to help her parents with the venue and coming up with this idea. But then she has a sister, and her sister is played by Marla Sokolov. And I'm sure you all remember her from The Practice, but I know she was also in Full House back in the day. But you know that she wrote this movie?
Oh, no.
Okay. Yes, I think I did read that. I
thought was interesting.
Oh, sorry, Danielle.
No, go ahead.
I will say this about the film. I did like the ageism theme that they had going. I liked that she got kicked out of the Jingle Bells for being too old. She stumbled, but they got rid of her because she was too old for it. And then she went home and did this review, and they ended up with an older male stripper dancer in the review. So I did like that we were addressing that and talking about it. I thought that was important.
Yeah.
Now, Samantha, you were really excited about A Little Women's Christmas over on Great American Christmas. And before we talk about it, I have a question for you. If this movie had been called Four Sisters Christmas and we changed all the names, would you have known that this was based on Little Women?
No.
I'm not judging the film or the network on that. For crying out loud, Hallmark years ago put out a movie called Sense and Sensibility and Snowmen that had nothing to do with Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility other than the fact that the characters were Eleanor and Marianne.
I mean, so, Three Wise Men and a Baby, right?
Yeah, Three Wise Men and a Baby, same thing. But that was the first thing that stuck out to me about it. I was like, this is not based on Little Women in any way. It's just
Similar situations, I'll say. Because, let's just get into it. It's set in present day, number one. Beth, the sister who dies, is alive.
This is true.
So that's all very weird for your brain if you are a Little Women follower. And so all the sisters are there. But there's no mother, although they are adults, but I feel like their mom would still be alive. And she's a huge character in the book and other films.
Their parents were alive. They were just on a mission trip.
Right. But Marmy is a huge character in the book. Anyways, you have Joe, who she's still a writer and she's a part of this publishing house. She's kind of lost her way. She's trying to rebrand as a young adult author. So they're saying to her, you need to go and write some new books, basically. And so anyhow, I'll go through the other characters. So like Amy, her younger sister, who's a blonde, that was correct. Lori, the boy next door, that was correct, I guess. And then the other sisters were there too. But it was present day, and it's just a little weird for Little Women.
It was also
anyway,
Tennessee as opposed to New England.
It wasn't in New England. It wasn't during Civil War. It was really bothering me. A lot of it was bothering me. So anyways, her publisher sends this guy basically to check up on Joe to make sure she is doing what she needs to do, creating a new manuscript, this and that. He comes to town, which the town is called Alcott's.
I don't remember, but there were several
Alcott's Cove. There's like Louisa May Alcott's references all over the place.
References to her name.
There's another diner. We've seen a lot of diners this year.
The diner
was called Louisa May or Louisa May's or something like that. Anyways, so this guy shows up to town who bumps into Joe, and he says that he is a food writer, and he's coming to write about small towns and how they celebrate Christmas. And so they kind of hit it off, and she's showing him around. They're hanging out. Obviously, we know what happens.
You've already
fallen asleep. There's a lot of little women. Uh-oh. Like, you know, they're singing around a piano. Like, that's all little women like. Long story short, he falls in love with Joe, but he's realizing he actually has lied to her this entire time about who he is. And then her publisher's calling him and saying, we're going to drop her as an author and you need to tell her. So anyways.
I missed that part because I was asleep.
Yeah. I stayed awake, guys.
It was slow, and
it was very slow,
a little boring, and
that's unfortunate.
None of the characters were that endearing either. They were all just, yep, there they are. I didn't want to give any of them a hug.
It was just very whatever.
Exactly.
I was just very disappointed because I love Little Women so much, and I love any sort of retelling. And this was not a retelling. This was just like some random Little Women connection somehow.
No. We should have just called it Four Sisters Christmas.
Right, exactly.
Well, before we go, I do want to mention one more film. I kind of ventured outside our normal realm. I headed over to Paramount Plus.
Whoa.
To watch Dear Santa by the Farley Brothers.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. How was it?
It's pretty cute, but a little light on the Christmassy, even being called Dear Santa. The setup here is pretty basic. A kid with dyslexia writes a letter to Santa, except mixes up his letters and ends up sending his letter to Satan. So Satan shows up instead of Santa.
Oh my gosh.
And offers to grant him three wishes in exchange for his soul at the end. Mm-hmm. And this is a great film for tweens, preteens, kind of that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year old. There's a lot of bathroom humor, which I enjoy. I like potty humor. I find poop funny. But based on Danielle's face, she does not like it as much.
No fart jokes? Nothing, Danielle?
One of my favorite moments in this was Satan, Jack Blackley's Satan. Satan gives diarrhea to an annoying teacher that the kid has.
Oh my goodness.
Then locks the porta potty that he's running to so he can't get in. And then Jack Black whispers to the kid in a reference to a classic Christmas film. He whispers, you know, every time a grown man sharts, a demon gets his horns. I thought that was really funny. It ended up having a really good message. It was really sweet in the end. And spoiler alert, Jack Black becomes an angel.
He reforms, becomes
an angel. I'm not going to watch it again. It's more for that preteen tween age range. So I bet parents and kids are going to watch that. Not little kids. It definitely asks some questions that little kids don't want to be asking quite yet. So be advised, parents, if you have small ones and you want to keep some magic alive, avoid this film, just like Polar Express. But if your kids are past that age and you want to have a fun night with some potty humor, go for it. It's a good time. We've got so many movies coming up. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Hulu is going to bring us Nutcrackers. We've got Lifetime bringing us B.B. Wynan's We Three Kings, which I think, Danielle, you're excited about. Hallmark, of course, is putting out some fun ones. They've got Holiday Touchdown, A Chief's Love Story. Samantha, I know you're excited about A 90s Christmas. We've got a lot coming up, and we don't have much time left, but one upcoming movie this weekend that you're just dying to see. Name it. Go.
I want to watch the one with Ben Stiller, Nutcrackers.
Okay. Excellent.
I like Ben Stiller, and I'm interested to see how he does in this one.
Well, then you should also watch Dear Santa, because Ben Stiller had a cameo.
Oh, cool. Okay. Danielle, what do you think?
Well, actually, I'm hoping next week, Erin Lee, we can talk about Red One.
We need to talk about Red One.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw it. It's so much fun.
Yeah. So let's talk about that next time then.
We will start off the episode talking about Red One next week.
I've been holding on to that. Sure. Yeah.
I'm excited about Christmas Quest. Lacey Chabert's movie coming up on Sunday. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
You know, what was really interesting about that Lacey Chabert film is that she promoted it on like, I think Mario Lopez does, is it Access Hollywood? He does one of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's Access Hollywood.
So Lacey Chabert was on his show with Kit Tuver to promote this film, which I thought was interesting. Maybe they're trying to hype it up.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, we are going to watch these movies, folks. We're going to tell you about them next time, and we are looking forward to it. Please, if you feel so inclined, rate, follow, 5 stars. We'd really appreciate it.
And find us where you find your podcasts.
Bye-bye.